The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Every year the parents of Jesus went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in favor with God and human beings. The Gospel of the Lord.
Today's Gospel gives us the story of Jesus when he was 12 years old. In fact, it's the only story we have in the Gospels of Jesus after his birth in Bethlehem, before he began his public ministry at approximately age of 30. So from the time of his birth to the age of 30, we only have one story of Jesus. And this is when he was 12 years old. And he went on pilgrimage, as faithful Jews would do every year, to Jerusalem for the Passover. And we are told that he stayed behind without his parents knowing it. And then when he was confronted and saying, "Your father and I have been anxious looking for you," he said, "Well, did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And so we see Jesus already at 12 years old, knowing that he had a heavenly father and he had a mission to be faithful to that. But then we are told that he did return with his parents and was obedient to them. And these hidden years in Nazareth, when Jesus grew up, we have no record of. But we can imagine, just by the fact that he spent 30 years living an ordinary life. His father was a carpenter. Most likely he learned the trade. And he lived a life like an ordinary person growing up in an ordinary family, except how extraordinary he was. But hidden, no one in the village really knew that he was any different until he began his public ministry. And that was only for about 3 years before he was crucified and died and rose again. So the life of Jesus in the family, just the fact that he spent so much time in a family, says a lot. And first of all, I think the point we need to make is that the family is not just a human evolutionary social construct, as many people in our world today would say it is. In other words, something that just kind of came about through evolution and social relationships. No, we believe that God designed the family. As we hear in the book of Genesis, he created man and woman in his own likeness. And therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. God intended man and wife to form a unity of love out of which new life could come forth into this world, the family. That's the gift of the natural family that God intended for us. Now we know that as a result of sin and evil in our world today, our experience of family life can be from very good to very dismal. And certainly that wasn't God's original plan. He wanted us all to experience the initial and the full blessing of warm, loving, united families. But we all need healing in our relationships, in our families, and with our parents and siblings to one degree or another because of sin. And the good news is Jesus has come to bring us that grace. But God not only intended us to belong to a natural family, but he also created the spiritual family. And the spiritual family is the church, where we are called to be brothers and sisters in and through Christ, and to come to know God as our Heavenly Father, and the church as our mother, or our Blessed Lady, as the mother, our Heavenly Mother. And we are called to experience that the relationships we are called to go beyond the natural family, but we are called to know that we are part of a greater family. In fact, that's God's plan for the world, to unite all of his creatures in one family through his Son Jesus. That's God's plan. And it's interesting too that, and fascinating, that God takes the family so seriously that when he chose to come into this world, he chose to be born as a vulnerable little babe, totally dependent on the love of a family, love of parents. And that speaks volumes about how much God values family life. And also how incredible a vocation it is. I know in the church we speak often and we pray often for vocations to the priesthood and religious life, which we should, because these are very important to our church. But really, for most people, the vocation you will be called to is to family life, to marriage and family. And that vocation is an awesome vocation, because the call is to be the first bearers and instruments of God the Father's love for your children. And that is, again, an awesome responsibility. And the fact is, we all fall short because we're not God, right? And we all are wounded by sin. And so we all, in one sense, God calls us to love in the way he has loved us, and yet without grace it's impossible. And I think that, by definition, creates a situation where we're called to a real humility, where we need to cry out to God for help. Teach me how to love. Empower me to love. Give me the grace to love as you have loved me. And again, that's where the importance of having Christ Jesus as the center of our families is so important. It used to be a tradition in Catholic homes to enthrone the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which meant to invite the Lord Jesus into our homes to be the model and the source of our family love and life and unity together. And I would encourage us to do that, and to make family prayer something that's normal and ordinary, and yet unfortunately has been lost to a large degree. But we need the grace of God, especially in this day and age when there's so many pressures on families that are trying to pull families and marriages apart. And many of us have experienced that, the wounding of broken relationships, broken marriages, broken family life, separation from our loved ones, and also just brokenness in our relationships. And so today we pray for healing in that. And as we look at St. Paul and the letter from the book of Sirach, we see kind of God's recipe, you could say, for family life, what we are called to. In the book of Sirach, which is from the Old Testament, we see the importance of honoring our fathers and mothers. Now, that doesn't mean, honoring doesn't mean approving of all of their behaviors, especially if they've been hurtful in any way or unjust to us. But honoring our fathers and mothers is the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. And it's the one commandment that has a promise attached to it. Honor your father and mother that it will go well for you in this life. There's a lot of talk in our society today about wellness. How do we promote wellness? Well, the scriptures tell us one of the primary ways we promote wellness, that kind of well-being and peace and contentment in our hearts, is by honoring our fathers and our mothers. Which means when we're young, respecting their authority and learning to live under that authority. And when they get older and we get older, it means being still honoring and respectful of who they are and even caring for them when needed in their old age. And again, this is a grace we need to pray for and a grace that God wants to give each one of us. Now, in Paul's letter to Colossians, we have, again, a beautiful example of the love we are called to. Now, Paul is speaking not just about the natural family, he's speaking about the spiritual family, the church, how we are called to love all people. But certainly this begins in the home. This is where what we're supposed to learn in our homes through our family relationships and then be able to take into our wider relationships in the family of the church and in our relationships with others as well. And here's what he says, brothers and sisters, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are all called into one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell with you richly. And then he goes on, and then he talks about wives being willing to be submissive to their husbands, but husbands learning to love their wives and not treat them harshly. In other words, there's a mutual love that is called for in marriage. And parents and children learning to obey their parents, and fathers not provoking their children so that they become discouraged or lose heart. Oh, if only we could fully implement this recipe, how much would our families benefit, and how much would our church and the world benefit today? So brothers and sisters, in order to do this, we need a Savior. We need grace. We need help. We need the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're here today, to pray for that grace, for our own families, and for our family, the church, our parish family, and for all our relationships. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for this feast of the Holy Family, the great example of family life that you give us in Saint Joseph as a father, in Blessed Mother Mary as a loving mother, and in Jesus as an obedient and faithful child and son. And we pray for our own families. We've all been wounded by sin to one degree or another in our families. And in our hearts, many of us still carry the effects of those hurts. We pray today for healing in our hearts, that we would be set free from all bitterness, all anger, all resentment. We pray for the grace that we would truly be able to forgive our families, our parents, our brothers and sisters, our children, or in any way that we have felt hurt by them. That we would be able to more deeply honor our parents, however imperfect they may have been, to honor them because you assigned them to be our parents and you gave us the gift of life through their coming together. We pray for our relationships with our brothers and sisters as well, for strengthening in that regard, and for our relationships as a whole, as a family, that you would continue to teach us how to love this great school of love that you've given us in the natural family as well as the spiritual family. That you would teach us how to be compassionate merciful, kind, gentle, meek, and above all, patient. Patient with the weaknesses and the shortcomings and the failures that we all carry as a result of sin. We would learn to bear with one another in our weakness and to accept with true compassion each member of our family, as you, Heavenly Father, have loved us from the beginning. Help us, Lord Jesus, to love as we have been loved, and teach us how to be sacrificial in our loving, to realize that true love means self-giving and not self-centeredness and selfishness. Teach us how to lay down our lives for one another as you laid down your life for us on the cross. And Mother Mary, we entrust all of our families, our spiritual family and our natural family, to your motherly care and protection and to your powerful intercession. And as well, Saint Joseph, we call upon you, the just and righteous man and father, to pray for our families and to watch over and protect us always. We make this prayer, as we do in all our prayers, with faith and confidence through Christ our Lord. Amen.